Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio. It's a Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
Hot is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
I contacted Dave Bitt last week about this week. Wanted to talk Big Ten Buckeyes. We'll do some of that, absolutely. But the timing's very good with all the news out there. And Dave, I'll start here with an attempt at humor. Maybe not a really good attempt, but just to get the story straight, yesterday, Texas is flirting with the SEC, in essence, to get Quinn Ewers. Have you ever heard of a school leaving a league just to get a quarterback?
Oh, I didn't know that was the reason. I thought they felt like there'd be a lot more money involved. No, I've never heard of that. I've heard of high school coaches and fathers being hired as assistant coaches. But that would be a new one for sure, my man.
What's the thinking from Big Ten country with this Oklahoma-Texas news?
Well, I mean, some fans are like, okay, is it really going to happen? Some fans are thinking, Ohio State fans are like, well, the Big Ten blew it here, you know, instead of the SEC going to 16 schools, you know, the Big Ten, should have got its act together last year. I don't know. I mean, I think 14 is enough in the Big Ten. I don't know if Texas and Oklahoma would be a good geographical fit. It sure would be a good competitive fit. The Big Ten would need that infusion of talent because right now, I mean, we're old enough, Bill, to remember the days of the Big Two and the Little Eight. You know, right now it feels like the Big One and the Little 13 at some stages. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see if that happens. If Texas and Oklahoma go to the SEC, my goodness, I mean, that's going to change the entire landscape of college football because what's going to happen to the Big 12 at that point? Are some of those schools going to be scrambling to maybe join the Pac-12 or the Big 10 or even the SEC or the ACC? I mean, Notre Dame was in the ACC last year, so things can get weird. I don't know. That will completely – we thought going to 14 teams was crazy. That's going to be really crazy if that happens.
Josh up in London, Ohio, ask Dave Biddle, is there any chance Ohio State would say screw the league and try and leave?
I don't think so, because if it was just about football, heck yes they would, or sports in general. But yeah, for them to make that decision, they would have to break ties with these, we were talking football, but like the thing that makes the most money for Big Ten schools is their hospitals. They do stuff like cancer research, things that are way more important than football, even though we all like to think football is the most important thing in the world, myself included. So no, it'll never happen, as much as from a football perspective it should, because Ohio State is unlike, I shouldn't say every other school in the Big Ten. Nebraska is like-minded, Iowa is like-minded, and there are certainly fans across the Big Ten that are like-minded, but as far as the actual institutions, there's really only those three that are like-minded, and only Ohio State can play with the big boys, it seems like, right now. So it'll never happen because of, their ties academically with these other institutions and all the research they do at hospitals. But it sure is fun to think about.
Dave Biddle with us. You talk about the separation that continues between Ohio State and the rest of the league, Michigan and the rest of the league. And it's true. And recruiting, it's separating out even more day by day, Dave.
It does feel that way. And I'm sure everybody, I felt this way. I'm sure everybody, all the other teams in the Big Ten were like, when Urban Meyer stepped down, they were like, all right, here we go. Here's our chance. Now Ohio State's going to come back to the pack. And Ryan Day, it's a small sample size, Bill. We don't know yet, even though I have a great feeling about him. He's got 2 years in the books. You could say, well, he just got the keys to a Lamborghini and didn't wreck it. But that's fair. But now you look at how he is recruiting. I mean, there's been no drop-off, which is that's the most shocking thing to me, is there's been no drop-off in recruiting from Urban to Ryan. Now, one of the big reasons is because Ryan Day was able to retain Mark Pantone, who's the Wizard of Oz there behind the scenes. He's their director of of player personnel, and I thought Urban might take him with him to the Jags, but Mark Pantoni loves being at Ohio State. I don't even know if Urban reached out to try and take him, but it's really surprising that there's been no drop-off in recruiting. You know, I knew Ryan Day was an offensive genius and quarterback whisper and all that, but you know, how is he going to – did he have enough chops to go out and hire a good defensive coordinator? He did the first year with Jeff Hafley, who then only stayed 1 year because he was too good and went to Boston College. We'll see about Kerry Combs. The jury is still very much out on Kerry Combs as defensive coordinator. That's the big storyline, Bill, for Ohio State going into this year is the defense will improve. How much will they improve? They need to improve a lot. They need to improve exponentially. They can't go from 56th in the country to 46th in the country in total defense. They need to be a top 20 defense if they want to compete with the likes of Alabama. I don't think they have to be a top 10 defense because this offense is going to be elite. Ohio State's offense will be elite. I think it'll be a top 5 offense. You could probably win the Big Ten, you know, with that type of offense and a 50-ish defense in the country, but you're not going to win the national championship, and that's the goal. I mean, that's the goal. So if you're going to get past an Alabama, if you play Clemson again and are able to beat Clemson again, their defense played well against Clemson last year. They stepped up to the plate, but still, the offense was the big reason they won that game. So the defense needs to improve a lot. From 56th in the country, guys, I would say top 20.
You mentioned Kerry Combs, year one, shaky. Does he have 1 year to fix this, and then they'll have to go get somebody else?
I think so, and that's the last thing Ryan Day would want to do, because he likes Kerry Combs professionally and personally. He believes in him. It's not just he's a good guy, and I like him, and he's a good recruiter, so I'm having him as defensive coordinator. He believes in him, and he thinks last he's going to kind of – this isn't the word he uses, but this is the word I use. He's going to kind of give him a mulligan for last year, losing all the talent to the NFL. I mean, they lost 3 first-round picks and 6 draft picks overall. All 6 who played well as rookies in the NFL, except for Damon Arnett, who's one of the first-round picks. Jordan Fuller was a 6th round pick by the Rams and started. But you use some of the excuses like COVID. I mean, teams in the Big Ten had to deal with the same stuff. And it wasn't just Alabama that was lighting up Ohio State's defense. It was Indiana. You know, so you can't use the excuse of, well, we didn't have training camp and all this. Well, Indiana didn't either. They were playing by the same rules. Like, what happened there? What happened when Penn State was torching you in the passing game? It was the passing defense. The rushing defense was fine last year. It was really good. 6th best rushing defense in the country. 6th worst passing defense in the country. So they're optimistic that they're going to turn around. But to answer your question, yeah, Bill, if they put a repeat of last year, I don't see how Kerry Combs is going to come back as defensive coordinator. Now, if I'm betting, I think they'll improve enough where he will come back. But, yeah, man, if they just barely improve or hold steady, I mean, they won't bring him back for a third year. The cries from the fans would be too much, and probably from the administration as well.
Jack Sawyer and then the 5-star defensive end that I always butcher his name out of Washington. Did these guys plug in immediately on the D-line?
Hey, man, just go JTT to be safe.
That's right.
Tui Moloau. So, yeah, so go. The only reason I know is because I had to say it 50 million times on our podcast because he's
right.
Buckeyes were recruiting him for about 4 years, it felt like. Felt like Terrell Pryor committed early compared to JTT. But Jack Sawyer, Bill, is a guy I think is going to play more than JTT this year's true freshman because Jack Sawyer, both 5-star kids, JTT's ranked a little higher, but Jack Sawyer got here in January and, went through Mickey Marotti's strength and conditioning program. I was talking about Mark Pantoni might be the best at what he does. Mickey Marotti's one of the best strength coaches. Another guy that Ryan Day was able to, retain from the Urban Meyer era, which is another big reason they're keeping up with what Urban did and maybe improving on it. But, yeah, I think Jack Sawyer is going to play a lot. He's more of a true defensive end, and they have one of their veteran backup defensive ends might go into camp a little banged up. So Jack Sawyer could end up being the number 3 defensive end right off the bat. Their starters are set. They have Tyreek Smith and Zach Harrison as their starters at defensive end. It's going to be a really good defensive line overall. But I think Jack Sawyer is going to play a lot because JTT just got here. Jack Sawyer got a chance to go through Mickey Marotti's strength program, got a chance to go through all of spring ball, looked good in the spring. I mean, spring game, you got to take with a whole container of salt because they weren't even playing real football. They're playing touch football out there, Bill, where if you got a hand on a quarterback, that was a sack. But Jack Sawyer, tore it up, though. So he won't start or anything. I'm not saying he's going to come in and be like a Nick Bosa or a Joey Bosa as a freshman, but he will play a lot in a reserve role. JTT, they'll find a role for, but I think that'll be, and not just in garbage time, but that'll be more of like 10 to 15 snaps per game in a big game. They'll find a way to get JTT out there. Man, I know he wants to play defensive end, but he's already 6'5", 280. Like, maybe they'll trim him down and he will be like strong side defensive end. But man, when you're already that size coming out of high school, just graduated high school, to me, I think he's going to grow into a three-tech defensive tackle. But he wants to play defensive end. Ohio State's going to let him. That's where he's going to play this year. So they'll find a role for JTT, 10, 15 snaps a game probably. I think Jack Sawyer is going to have a big role, probably that top defensive end off the bench.
Not a better, more hot recruiter in America than Brian Hartline.
It's amazing. I mean, I'm leaving for Big Ten Media Days today. It was what was it? Was it 3 years ago? Man, I can't remember how long it's been now. Yeah, 3 years ago, Big Ten Media Days is when the stuff hit the fan with Urban Meyer and Zach Smith. Whoever would have thought that would have been a blessing in disguise for Ohio State? Not necessarily with Urban Meyer. I mean, you could say maybe it was with Ryan Day replacing Urban Meyer, too. I don't know, you know, what people think about that. Certainly, Brian Hartline replacing Zach Smith. And that's Zach Smith, if you talk to some of the players, actually did a good job as a coach and actually did a good job as a recruiter. But Brian, so it's really nothing against Zach Smith as a coach or a recruiter. It's just Brian Hartline, as you said, is like the best in the country what he does. It's ridiculous how well he's recruiting at the wide receiver position year after year after year. Like he has one great class and drops off. Year after year, he's stacking five stars and high four stars. And the way he coaches on the field, I mean, he was always a technician. That's why he was able to make it in the NFL and made a lot of money in the NFL. He always was a technician as far as running routes. And you've seen Ohio State's receivers get better at running routes and things like that. So, yeah, he has been – and he was just – you know, he had already made millions in the NFL. He was just a volunteer assistant coach at Ohio State when all that stuff went down. He just wanted to be back at his alma mater, just coaching football for free. He didn't really know what he wanted to do, if he wanted to do coaching full-time, and then this fell in his lap, and he loves it. So they promoted him. It was 3 years ago. They promoted him to wide receivers coach, and he has just been a godsend for the Buckeyes. There's no doubt about it.
Quick question here out the door. I was teasing about it early, but Jeff, too, here in town, asked Dave, could Texas coming to the SEC affect the recruitment of Quinn Ewers?
Man, I mean... why would he want? Why would Quinn Ewers want to go to the SEC and have to play Alabama all the time? Would he rather come here and play Purdue? No, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on this. I don't think it'll affect Quinn Ewers. He seems to. I mean, he sees what's happened with quarterbacks under Ryan Day and the way they've recruited the state of Texas and the success that they've had. I don't know. I'll be surprised if Quinn Ewers goes elsewhere. I don't know if joining the SEC would move the meter. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's like always dreamed of, like, you know, if Texas was in the SEC, then I'd go to the SEC. You never know what's in the mind of a 17, 18-year-old kid. But from what I understand, he's a pretty solid commit to the Buckeyes and is pretty excited to play for Ryan Day. Then again, what if Kyle McCord ends up beating out C.J. Stroud, which I don't think will happen. Kyle McCord's a true freshman. Would that change things? I don't think so. I don't think Quinn Ewers is going to be afraid of competition. But, yeah, I think he's solid, but maybe I'm wrong, Bill.
Dave, always a pleasure, sir. Thanks for the update.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it, man.
There you go. There's Dave Biddle, Bucknuts. He is excellent. He's back. Yeah, Catch is back. We'll bring him in here and get right back into it. I guess where we left off yesterday from Orange Bloods. Yeah, Bucknuts and then to Orange Bloods. Those are two of the most popular team sites on the planet. They're incredibly popular. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Traffic remains a mess out here in West Nashville. All from that wreck we had about, 4.5 hours ago on 40 East and Westbound between 440 and Whitebridge Pike. Again, it's been shut down over here for quite some time. Some power lines were taken down in the process of this crash as well. It's really created a lot of confusion over here on the west side of what to do. It's flooded a lot of traffic up and down Charlotte Pike this morning. Keep that in mind as you come in from Dixon County out of Hickman County as well down the interstate this morning. You hit this wall of traffic here in West Nashville around Whitebridge Pike. Gatlinburg Wine Cellar is home of the world-famous cotton candy wine. Check them out at GatlinburgWineCellar.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Prescription products require an online consultation. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
My husband's ED was affecting our marriage. When he first started experiencing ED, it was difficult for both of us. We didn't know who to talk to about it or where to get help. Hims was our answer. Hims connected my husband with a licensed provider online. He was able to get medication to treat his ED at a fraction of the price people pay for the name brand. It was delivered to our door, and guess what? Our sex life is back. It works.
Right now, get your first online provider's visit totally free when you go to forhims.com/joy. Yep, free. No copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations. Just the care you need.
Thanks to Hims, we got our sex life and our marriage back.
To start your free online visit, go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/joy. That's forhims.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
For the one standing guard. For the eagle-eyed. For the knights in shining armor. And for all those who support them, we are Grainger, your experienced safety partner, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, committed to helping keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show.
Vicki Yates is here, ladies and gentlemen.
As a fan of both of the men, this is the place to be. Do you want to know about sports? This is the place to be. Listen to John and Greg. This is it.
Wow. That was awesome.
I quit.
Yeah, no, I'm done. That's a mic drop.
Greg Pogue and News Channel 5's John Burton. WNSR. Nashville Sports Radio.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning. Sunshine, highs around 93, heat index values make it feel like 100. For tonight, partly cloudy, 72. Friday, sunshine, highs near 92. Friday night, mostly clear, 73. For Saturday, sunshine, highs 93. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR, my name is Rocky.
Sports Radio
College Sports. Bill King knows a few things.
We had Jeff Ketchum with us yesterday, just hanging out a little bit. We're just chilling. And then somebody dropped a nuclear bomb later in the afternoon, and here we are again. Apparently, Ketch is alive because we got him on the phone here. Good morning, Ketch. Welcome back.
Long time. when I said yesterday, talk to you soon, I had no idea that events would mean 24 hours later, but it's always good to be with you, Bill. What's going on?
Okay. Let me start first with the conspiracy, and then we'll get to facts, okay? I love a good conspiracy. It is Jimbo's turn on Wednesday at the SEC Football Media Days to talk, and precisely at that moment, in essence, this story hits. What's the conspiracy?
It's a weird one because in the beginning, I was trying to figure this out. The story breaks from an A&M beat guy. You know, you start wondering where it seems like it would be undermining A&M to break that story right when Jimbo's going on the podium, because the very first question of the day for Jimbo was essentially, what are your thoughts on Texas and Oklahoma? And he's ready to go. He's got an answer, but it did kind of overshadow A&M's day. I mean, the story this morning in every newspaper and every TV show is about Texas and Oklahoma. I think Texas officials are convinced that Texas A&M deliberately leaked that in an attempt to muddy the water, to create some roadblocks. Friction was the word that I used. And it was their opinion that that's exactly what happened, that this did add friction that in a perfect world, Texas and Oklahoma wouldn't want to deal with. And you should keep in mind that A&M's athletic director, from what I read, was at SEC Media Day yesterday, and that it doesn't appear to be normal protocol. So Ross Bjork also on hand to give a Texas OU to the SEC quote. I mean, this might have just been about A&M protecting its territory, and that this was the method that they chose potentially to do so, I don't know. The timing is curious, but there's no doubt about it. As soon as it happened, A&M had its coach ready for a comment. Its AD was on tap for a comment, and really nobody else was. SEC commissioner doesn't really want to touch the conversation. Nobody at Texas and Oklahoma is throwing rain on it, which is unusual because if something's not true, we get denials really quickly. No denials, a lot of we can't talk right nows. A lot of my sources that I talked to did eventually talk yesterday. It would appear there's a lot more movement here than perhaps speaking it yesterday could slow down. I think that may be the number one thing to come out of yesterday was if it was an attempt to slow things down, Texas and Oklahoma don't seem to care.
It was even worded, this could be done in 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, look, eventually one of my highest-level sources yesterday told me that the intention is that Texas and Oklahoma will both notify the Big 12 next week that they don't intend to renew the rights agreements. And that could mean a lot of things. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're leaving just by saying that alone, but my sourcing specifically told me they believed that that would be the domino that sets off all the dominoes. So the thing to keep an eye on would be next week, Texas and Oklahoma notify the Big 12 that they don't intend to renew their TV rights. And then what happens next from there and the timing of it, that then becomes, I think, the multi-million dollar question. Do they actually go through – I guess there's a process where they have to, fill out an application of sorts to get into the SEC. But the thing is, you don't get to that stage without already having your answers. And this is a Texas athletic department program that once didn't hire Art Briles back in 2014 when they hired Charlie Strong. Art Briles probably would have been the Texas coach, but they didn't want to interview him. They wanted him to tell them in advance that he would be the Texas coach, and Art Briles wouldn't interview before Texas would tell him that he had the job. You had two entities not wanting to risk a thing, and so nothing happened there. This doesn't feel that. It feels like this thing is far enough down the road that Texas and Oklahoma officials behind the scenes aren't afraid to talk about their intentions, and I think that's a bit of a surprise, right? Because when this thing hit yesterday, I don't know that any of us would have guessed it was the train was already down the tracks. We never really, we've heard scuttlebutt, but certainly never would have guessed that this story would break yesterday and that once it did break, the talk about it would be not in a beginning phase, but somewhere much further down the road.
Jeff Ketchum, Orange Bloods. Summer of 2010, the expansion story of Oklahoma and Texas going west occupied every minute and second of my day. It did yours, too. And I enjoyed it. It was fun, man. It was entertainment. Tubbs came on with me. We got in a bunch of trouble from the Big 12. Tubbs saying he didn't trust anybody out there. And I think he got his country club membership pulled. I mean, we were having a blast. I'm telling you, Ketch, we were having a blast. But here was the deal. They were going west. They would never go to the SEC. Texas looks at the SEC as academically inferior. They'd never want to join the SEC. What changed?
10 years of losing and probably a little bit of that. And the other thing that really changed, and this cannot be stressed enough, like we can joke because Texas is thirsty to be relevant. So and the issues in recruiting right now with regards to not being in the SEC is problematic. But what's changed more than anything else is the leadership at Texas, from the head of the Board of Regents to the school president to the Board of Regents in general. Like, they all care about athletics in a way where the former president, who was a bit of a Berkeley guy, had a reputation for wanting to this. They wanted the school to be known for rubbing elbows with the nationally elite academic schools. And I used to have conversations with Board of Regent members where they would tell me that when they went to various meetings, the thing they never wanted to be asked was, why did you guys spend this much money in athletics? They didn't want the athletics question. Everybody that's new, starting at the very top, they care about athletics a lot. They probably care about athletics, I don't want to say more than academics, because people would probably, I think they might flinch at that, but their actions scream athletics mean as much or more than anything else. And that's just an ideology that didn't previously exist. But you've got a head of the Board of Regents and a school president and an athletic director that are all in unison about what needs to happen, whereas a decade ago, those three things weren't on the same page at all. And you really, I think, saw that play out with the Mack Brown dismissal in 2014, just how split. Nobody was on the same page. They couldn't decide who in the hell was even supposed to fire Mack. And in the end, that thing was a big old mess. And you're seeing fewer messes because Texas's leadership is just more in tune with each other. So none of these things happen in a vacuum where one layer of the school's hierarchy doesn't know about it. And that's how Texas used to operate. A little bit of not everybody being on the same page. I think the Eyes of Texas controversy a year ago, along with what happened with Tom Herman that followed, I think that brought decision makers together in a way that they hadn't previously been for a long time, and they haven't left. They've been locked in arms ever since.
Orange Bloods is the site. Jeff Ketchum is with us. Jeff Chu says, ask Ketch if he would be willing to put percentages on Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC. And he also wants to know if it could be 2022. I mean, he's ready like now for this.
One, I think the percentage thing goes back to me predicting once upon a time after Kyler Murray visited Texas. I talked to an official in his school district that said his dad had called to set up a press conference to announce that Kyler was going to flip to Texas. So when someone asked me that exact same question, I off the cuff said 85%. It sounded good. It just turned into one of those message board questions that has been held against me ever since, just a running joke. I don't know how to handicap the percentages. I really don't. Because, you know, and I asked an official, you know, last night, like, what's the thing that blocks this? What are you guys worried about? And I got the sense that, A, they weren't worried about anything, but there was also an acknowledgement that this is new terrain. You know, once upon a time, the politics of this would have been really sticky. But, you know, A&M has somewhat paved the path for Texas. And Oklahoma has its own set of politics. And I have to be completely honest, I'm not completely in tune with what it would mean for Oklahoma to make a move without Oklahoma State. It has never felt like that's been on the table before. But in talking with Oklahoma people yesterday, they feel like they can do it. They feel like if push comes to shove, politics won't get involved. But you just never know. I think the unknown is the thing that makes this thing hard to handicap. But I think from a confidence level standpoint, I think Texas decision makers and Oklahoma decision makers, they think they're going to the SEC. I talked to somebody in a non-revenue sport yesterday who had communications with someone at Oklahoma at a high level. And when that person got back to me, their response was, holy F, it's happening. And, you know, I don't know that I've ever had that response from this particular person before. So once it was kind of sinking in yesterday and word was getting out, there's been nothing but confidence on the Texas and Oklahoma side, I believe. But, man, I don't know. I don't know how to handicap what little tricky thing could pop up, what politician grandstands today and wants to make this thing a big stink. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know. That's hard to call. But there is some talk that if this thing starts to fall apart, that if Texas and Oklahoma notify the Big 12 that they intend to leave or intend not to renew, I guess I should say, the other schools in the conference at that point, it's everybody take care of themselves. And if other schools start to make their move in anticipation that this thing's about to break apart, then you could have a scenario where the conference dissolves organically and naturally before 2025. So I've got some people who are saying 2023, this thing could happen as soon as that. I have other people saying, look, there are going to be schools in the Big 12 that emerge from this in really bad shape, that they're going to be going from in a have conference-wise to potentially a have-not, which means those $35, $40 million a year checks that they've been getting for the TV revenue, they will want that money, and they'll probably get it no matter what, but there will be a thirst from some of the schools involved to cling on to the Big 12's existence as long as they can, which at this point, the TV rights go through 2025. There is some thought that some of these schools will want to cling to the conference to such a degree that it could go that long, but I think there's optimism that this thing dissolves through that first domino falling, and then anything's possible from that point on.
Yeah, down to about 90 seconds, catch. You basically touched on it. But if you're Manhattan, Kansas, or you're Waco, Texas, or you're Lawrence, Kansas, you're in the fetal position right now, whimpering, not knowing what's coming.
No, it sucks. And I was on other our Texas Tech Rivals message board last night because they've got a very good website. I just wanted to kind of get a feel for, and they get it. They know this is beyond their control and the impact that this will have on all of their athletics program is not good. I mean, most of the conference is scrambling right now, and the two schools that don't have to scramble, I don't think are very concerned about that.
Catch, always outstanding, sir. Appreciate it, man.
You got it. We'll talk soon. Hopefully not tomorrow. Take care.
All right, man. There you go. There he is. Jeff Ketchum from Orange Bloods. And wow, what a story. What a story. Did you see Mike Leach yesterday? Guy from the media. Who was it? Blake Toppenmeyer, I believe. And I don't know Blake. He's a good reporter. But he asked Leach, have you been vaccinated? And I knew this would happen. Leach's reply was, if I had, I wouldn't share it with you. Yeah, that was Mike Leach yesterday. Mike was pretty good. He started everything off by saying, I'm not going to issue some opening statement because you're going to ask me what you want to ask me anyways. So let's go. Fire away. Where are the questions? Mike Leach. Yeah, Leach. Love me some Mike Leach. Okay, here's the deal. We are about to break. And then we'll have time. What do we have? 20 minutes or so? A little bit. 20 and change to comb back through this a bit today. This has been fun. As Wednesday developed, people were sending me messages. Bill, absolute gold being dropped into your lap for tomorrow. I just had a big grin. This is absolute gold at the purest of levels. However this story materializes, it is a beautiful topic. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Morning traffic remains a mess out here in West Nashville. It's still closed there from that early morning incident on 40 East and westbound there at Whitebridge Pike, 46th Avenue there at 440. Again, it's caused a lot of extra traffic onto Charlotte Ave this morning, Charlotte Pike as well. A lot of folks are trying to bail off the interstate because it's bumper to bumper here on 40 Eastbound at Charlotte Pike. Gatlinburg Wine Cellar is home of the world famous cotton candy wine. Check them out at GatlinburgWineCellar.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Bob's Steak and Chop House, located at the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef. The menu formula is simple. Incredible meat, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts.
classic steakhouse food prepared and presented in a manner that Bon Appetit calls the kind of fare you'll want to go back for again and again. Voted one of the top 50 restaurants in the country by Travel and Leisure magazine, and one of only 11 steakhouses in America that serves A5 Wagyu steak. Bob's Steak and Chop House offers the classic steakhouse experience. For reservations, call 615-761-3707. Open Wednesday through Saturday, 5 to 10 p.m. And they've got complimentary valet parking available. Bob's Steak and Chop House, located 5th Avenue downtown at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel is serving up new summer hours and a fantastic summer menu. Open Thursday through Sunday from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel is the only place downtown for breakfast or lunch. Start your day with a cast iron waffle and some prime rib hash, or a Kitchen Notes burger and grandma's chicken noodle soup for lunch. Open Thursday through Sunday from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Kitchen Notes, located 5th Avenue downtown in the Omni Nashville Hotel.
You have a 90% chance of surviving a lightning strike. You have a 98% chance of surviving a shark attack. You have a 99% chance of surviving a snake bite. But you only have a 50% chance of surviving a crash. You aren't wearing a seatbelt. Your truck may be tough, but a seatbelt makes it tougher. Buckle up in your truck. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on The Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and Eric Almirola upends the NASCAR playoff system by winning at New Hampshire this past weekend. Up next, they've got a couple of weeks off because of the Olympics. But you can still grab all your NASCAR news, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hi, I'm Eric Almirola, and you are listening to The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
We are doing video now. Check us out at youtube.com/TheFinalLap every single weekday right here.
If there's a drama stream anywhere in college sports, The Bill King Show is there to break it down.
Take a phone call here. Exhilarating show today. Wow. Cosby Kahneman.
$1 million Bama quarterbacks without taking a snap. Tony Vols making $1.5 million in Texas in the SEC. Something crazy every day, isn't it, Bill?
I know. It is a wild world we're in right now.
Yeah. Bill, let me ask you a question on this Texas thing first, then I have a Rona question, unfortunately, for you today.
Okay.
I kind of am liking how Mark Emmert played his hand on this NIL stuff. You know, everybody beats up on the NCAA, all these talking heads. Everybody, Mark Emmert and the NCAA are always the villains, cheating the kids and all that. He just threw it right back in everybody's lap and said, all right, boys, y'all go form your super conference. Y'all wear it out. And I'm wondering if that's what's pushing the Texas thing, is the SEC's pretty much a super conference already anyway. Maybe the president of Oklahoma and Texas got on the phone with each other and said, hey, if the NCAA is not running college football anymore, maybe it's time to jump in the SEC because that's the best league. Hate to offend your ACC listeners out there, but everybody knows it's true.
Touched on that a little bit earlier, and that has to be part of the calculation for Texas and Oklahoma, is the NCAA will capitulate here in the near future, maybe 3 years.
Didn't Emmert pretty much come out on that article he wrote, open letter, or whatever, pretty much say the NCAA's out of the football business? They're not even going to – they're just pretty much out of it now.
Basically said deregulation.
Yeah, I mean, the NCAA has no control over the bowl process, right? That's totally out of the NCAA's hands, as we all know.
NCAA, basically, all they do is run tournaments.
Yeah, they run they get all their money from the NCAA men's basketball tournament.
It's basically what they do, yeah.
You know what Emmert and this NIL stuff reminds me of, Bill, as we all know the old analogy, the dog that catches the ice cream truck. What are you going to do with it now that you caught it?
You got it in your mouth. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, Emmert said, here you go, boys. Y'all figure it out. Bill, when we saw all these contracts canceled, these crazy schedules last year, and I heard Catch saying 2023, 2025, if we learned anything last year, they can change things overnight. Could we see Texas in the SEC next year?
I wouldn't think that soon. I don't know. But could it be 2023, the year, let's say that's the first year of the expanded playoffs and all that? I could maybe see that.
If I told you a year ago this time, Bill, we were getting to see a 10-game SEC-only schedule, what would you have said in 2 months?
Well, wouldn't have believed it, probably.
Hey, just one round of question, Bill. I'll get out of your way. I was watching the Commie Network, the Today Show, Hoda, and all those people. And yeah, they're having trouble getting these games off over there in Tokyo. And I've been Sankey was coming out saying, what, if you can't play due to COVID, it's not a no contest this year, it's a forfeit.
Right.
I believe that's kind of what he threw out at his State of the Conference deal.
Right.
But let me ask you this, Bill. I'm almost positive over here in Tennessee, they're not letting you enroll in school unless you're vaccinated. We're hearing that some of these SEC football teams still haven't hit that 80% threshold for vaccination. How are these dudes even going to be able to get admitted in fall if they haven't been vaccinated, if they're making the regular student do it?
I don't know what each school is doing, though. Is that's not across the board, though,
yeah,
in the SEC.
I understand in Tennessee, and I think with most of these big state schools,
are they?
You know, they're saying they tell these kids you got to have your mumps shot and your measles shot and all that. But I think these colleges are saying you got to have a vaccination or they won't let you enroll in the fall to the regular students. Mm-hmm. So how we got football teams with 20, 25, 30% of vaccinated dudes enrolled in school?
I don't know. I think most of the teams in the league are at that 85% mark so far, aren't they?
I think I heard six are under the 80%. Tennessee's one of them in a 14-team league.
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess where I'm going with this, Bill, is we're going to see more cancellations this year. I think almost everybody thought we were past had the Ronan, the rearview mirrors. Now here's the revenge of the Corona Bros. But are we going to see more college football cancellations this year over there?
Well, we only had, of all the SEC games, you only had two of 70 or whatever the number was. It was a very small percentage a year ago in a way worse environment than this.
Well, they're having trouble over in the Olympics. Well, you know. Delta's raging, whether you like it or not.
We'll have to see, sir.
Well, that's all I got for you, Bill. Hang in there.
All right. John says, Bill, with the deal apparently going down, could this force Disney and ESPN to come back and negotiate with the SEC? And I don't – look, the SEC, I think all the – so far, the contracts, when you're talking about the SEC, the most recent contract that they got done kicks in 24, and that's that CBS afternoon, Saturday afternoon game, 3:30 Eastern, 2:30 Central. And ESPN's already taken, well, they've taken it over as of 2024, and it's worth about $3 billion. So that's a huge addition. And you're going to have expansion. Now, when I say expansion, I mean playoff expansion revenue that's coming in. And God knows what else is out there. But renegotiate things that are already in place. I'm not sure. If you add Oklahoma and Texas, I'm sure. Well, let's put it this way. ESPN, the suits, are absolutely in on this. They have to be. I mean, they're as important part of that's where the money is. That's the bank. ESPN, TV rights, TV games, TV revenue. I would assume they're in on it. So any adjustment that may be made, I'm sure, has been discussed and well past where we think it is. What that adjustment would look like, I don't know. But it's a good question. There's going to be a lot of things that have to be revisited. Grant of rights would be one. Obviously, you have to vote. You have to get passed. According to the bylaws, there's a lot there. Anyways, we'll take the break. Coming right back. Omni Nashville Hotel. We'll be right back.
morning traffic remains a mess out here in West Nashville. It's still closed there from that early morning incident on 40 East and westbound there at Whitebridge Pike, 46th Avenue there at 440. Again, it's caused a lot of extra traffic onto Charlotte Ave this morning, Charlotte Pike as well. A lot of folks are trying to bail off the interstate because it's bumper to bumper here on 40 Eastbound at Charlotte Pike. Gatlinburg Wine Cellar is home of the world-famous cotton candy wine. Check them out at GatlinburgWineCellar.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
We're planning a trip to Spain later this year.
But our Spanish is...
it's pretty bad.
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind. Babbel's conversation-based method teaches you real-life words and phrases. And with Babbel's interactive, bite-sized lessons, you'll remember what you learned.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿De dónde eres?
¿De dónde eres?
No matter your learning style or experience level, Babbel has lessons designed for you that will get you speaking quickly and confidently.
I tried learning Spanish before, but I couldn't stick with it until I found Babbel.
There's no easier way to learn another language.
Ahora hablamos español.
He just said, now we speak Spanish.
I can't wait to use our new language skills on our upcoming adventures.
Babbel, language for life. Celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
When you're ready to buy something, the first thing you do is go online. But buying a home is different. You've got loan applications, pre-approvals, competing offers, the list goes on. That's where a Realtor comes in. Realtors have expertise and local knowledge to give you a competitive edge that a search bar just can't. And in today's market, an edge is what you need. So when you're ready to buy a home, the first thing to do is make sure you have an agent who's a Realtor. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors. That's who we are.
He's back and we've got him. The George Plaster Show.
Hold on, who is that person?
That was me. Over the bag of Cheetos.
Harry, how long have you been on radio in this market? At what moment do you think when you're doing a live bid, it's okay to open Cheetos on the air?
What in the hell?
Live, local, George Plaster. Weekdays starting at 2 on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning. Sunshine, highs around 93. Heat index values make it feel like 100. For tonight, partly cloudy, 72. Friday, sunshine, highs near 92. Friday night, mostly clear, 73. For Saturday, sunshine, highs 93. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR, my name is Rocky.
Sports Radio WNSR.
When it comes to the college football playoff, he's for exclusion, not inclusion. It's Bill King.
Pat, do we still have a call? There. All right. Hey, Doug, appreciate you holding through the break there, sir. Welcome in.
Hello, Mr. King.
Hey, Doug.
Yes, haven't heard you guys, you know, talk about it, and I'll try not to jump all over the world in subjects. I mean, that last caller, the terrible transmission changing. There's so much for you, so you did well. But I heard Dion had to be addressed as Coach Sanders, and the reporter, you know, called him Dion.
Right.
What is your take on that? And I get it, because I hear a lot of reporters just come in and just talking like they casually go out and eat Fruit Loops and have golf with them. And if you build that rapport, I get it. But until you've done that, I don't think you should address a man just as, hey, we went to school in third grade together all the way to the 12th grade. So what do you think about that?
I thought it was petty on Dion's part. He brought up Nick Saban. People call Nick 100 times a day, Nick. I never thought that. Now there are certain things you could say that would be disrespectful, like, hey, you, or, you know, if you said something like that's disrespectful. But
well, I come to Mr. King just now because, you know, you're a radio show legend, and I think you should be referred to as that, Mr. King.
Well, but if you call me Bill, or I wouldn't mind that either. I mean, people call me Bill for the last 30, 40 years, and that's fine. But I just thought, I don't know what Deion's trying to do. Obviously, he has the right to demand whatever he demands as far as what you should call him. But, and I call coaches coach a lot, too. And I've always thought that was a term of endearment. I always thought, you know, it's what you do. It's a compliment. It's why we call you coach, right? And
I still call my coaches coach. Pee-wee, and, travel.
Oh, everything. Sure. But, I mean, think about when somebody says Deion, you're not thinking anybody else. There's only one Deion on the planet Earth. Like,
Dr. J, when you become a one-name status,
right?
You've reached that place. And you got to go back to, you know, when he built himself as Neon Deion. He said it was all about a persona to make himself something. So,
sure. No, you're right.
Don't know how it changed now, but, I mean, it was all about a persona.
I don't know. And there was a whole lot more news that was out, so it didn't take precedent much, but I don't know.
It
was a little weird when they had the spring game news conference and he came in there and apparently somebody did steal his stuff. And then they said that somebody came in and actually just took his stuff and moved it to another spot. And it was just weird. I don't know.
Well, you know, he's all about marketing. You know, that's what he does.
Hey, I saw somebody tweet this, which is the point. Everybody's talking about it, aren't they?
Yes, sir. That's mission accomplished.
He is. He's a smart dude's a smart guy. I wonder, he won't be there long, I bet, before he takes another jump.
Got to scratch an itch and make a name for himself in another genre. You know, TV had done its thing. He put his bandana on his bust. You know, he made a name as the fastest 40. Everywhere he's went, he's left a mark. And after he leaves this mark, it's on to excelling cars. Who knows what it is, though.
So. Doug, you stay in touch, sir.
Appreciate it, sir.
Billy on Twitter, down in Louisiana, says, how about Bill, Oklahoma fans already saying they would dominate the West, the SEC West, with LSU in it. How idiotic, he says. I mean, I think I've seen some smack talking about that. I don't know. If you did carve it up East and West, obviously you'd have Oklahoma and Texas in the West along with LSU and Arkansas, et cetera. I've seen another breakdown where Alabama and Auburn would be in the East. Tom up in Milwaukee, Bill. How about Iowa State and Oklahoma State to the Big Ten? I don't know how attractive they would be. Maybe they would be attractive because of Iowa State, the Cyhawk thing. I just don't know how attractive. Hey, let's meet, and we're going to bring in Stillwater, and we're going to bring in Ames, Iowa. Now, I know those are good football teams. That's not what I'm suggesting here. They are very good football programs and teams. But that's not necessarily what you're aiming for here. You're aiming for power. And you got to remember, as opposed to 10 years ago, actually 11 years ago, when the cable industry was bustling and the number of cable families and all that was a monstrosity. Today, all the talk is people cutting the cord and going to other alternatives for their viewing. It's a different environment 11 years later. It's a similar in some areas environment, but it's also different. And I just don't know what a Stillwater or an Ames, Iowa, good programs. Again, this is football. This is football. I don't know what they bring to the table. Do you get better? Where's the additional revenue because you added these teams? If you are Gundy and you've had any number of teams come after you to pay you to get you out of there, but that's your alma mater and you always stay, would this be the deal breaker that would push you to finally leave Oklahoma State? A lot of people have tried to hire the mullet. tomorrow. Is it already Friday? Oh, my. Where is all this going? Kevin Hagan tomorrow. Can't wait for Kevin. And then Brad Powers. That's hour number three, Friday edition. That was a hell of a show, y'all. And we're just getting around to it, right? A lot of news out there. I hope today is more revealing. Maybe giving us a little more hint about what's going on out there. Don't short Tesla this morning. Not another day to not do that. Lodge Pop.